Oftentimes, as educators and even coaches, we focus on encouraging people to find out what their passion is, and then we stop there. But I don't think that's enough. There's the next step of whatever it is that, and I like to say curious, not find your passion, because for a lot of people, if you don't know what your passion is, that can be very traumatic as well. You feel like something's wrong with you, you know? Oh, well, I don't have a passion. Oh no, I'm left out, you know? Sure. And I say, follow your curiosities, whatever that is.
Welcome to our incredible season finale of season one of An Unconventional Teacher. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you don't know who we are a growing community of unapologetically unconventional educators seeking to throw out the old playbook of education and usher in a new, engaging, dynamic paradigm in education. Thank you for being here. Our incredibly unconventional and inspiring guest is Jamia Drummond Bay today. She's the world's teacher, a curriculum writer, a learning expert, three-time Global Teacher Prize nominee, a TED resident, speaks over five languages, and the list goes on and on. Folks, we want to jump right into our episode today, but not after telling you, in the words of Jamia herself, her singular passion is pushing humanity forward by providing access to impactful and transformative education. We're going to jump right into our episode, folks. Thank you so much for being here. Now let's begin. Welcome back to An Unconventional Teacher. I'm your host, John Hinthorn. I am so excited to have our guest here. We have Jamia Drummond Bay here. She is coming in from Malaysia. She's based out of Malaysia. She's an educator, and she's known as the world's teacher. I'm going to say that one more time. She's known as the world's teacher. Jamia is a TED resident speaker, a keynote speaker, and an award-winning curriculum writer. On top of that, to make things topical, this is her third pandemic. She has already worked through how education looks like and sounds like in two other pandemics. So we are so excited to learn from you. Thank you for being here, Jamia. You've taught in over 30 languages, and your CV, your resume just goes on and on and on. I want our listeners to hear from you. What inspires you to be an educator every day?
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to have this conversation. Speaking to other educators about education is one of my absolute favorite things to do. And what inspires me to be an educator or in the field of education every day is it's my problem that I want to solve. And I say this in my TED Talk. It's one of the things that I learned when I really started to engage with younger people is that the question that we usually start our engagement with, what do you want to be when you grow up, is the wrong question. And so it pushes them in the wrong direction. It's very confining. And, you know, it sets so many of us up for failure if we don't follow that one thing. And it also, it triggers people, even adults, I notice, will say, oh, I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. And if you can imagine having one question that you feel like you never quite got a handle on for your entire life, that's horrible. Why would we do that? And so I started flipping that question to, well, what problem do you want to solve in the world? Or, you know, for my very creative minds, I ask, well, how do you want to bring joy into the world? How do you want to make people happy? Which is great for musicians and artists and dancers, you know, that lights them up, comedians. And education has been my problem that I want to solve. The way that that's different from saying it's what I want to be instead of saying I want to be a teacher is when I shifted that to poor education or education that doesn't prepare younger people for the world that they're actually going to live in and have to navigate, that opened so many doors for me. Because instead of saying, well, I'm going to be an educator, it's okay, I can be and do anything that helps to solve this problem. So I can write curriculums, and I can teach, and I can make music, and I can create different programs, and, you know, whatever helps me to solve that problem. The world is my oyster, literally. Wow. And you know, that has really helped me to have a new passion every day, because I'm constantly thinking of, well, what are ways that I can help out? It doesn't have to be in one specific classroom setting. It can be in different countries. After I experienced my second pandemic, and then when this COVID thing happened, I realized, wow, I have a wealth of knowledge. I've taught online for years. I know how to do this. Now this is my new mission and passion, you know? And so it's constantly, every day, I'm being inspired, but it's more of being called. And I really feel like oftentimes as educators and even coaches, we focus on encouraging people to find out what their passion is, and then we stop there. But I don't think that's enough. There's the next step of whatever it is that, and I like to say curious, not find your passion, because for a lot of people, if you don't know what your passion is, that can be very traumatic as well. You feel like something's wrong with you, you know? Oh, well, I don't have a passion. Oh no, I'm left out, you know? Sure. And I say, follow your curiosities. Whatever that is, you know, and you're passionate about what you're curious about. That's what it means, you know? And then once you find out what that is, there's a next level of service. And I feel like everything that occurs in the world can be solved by our gifts. And so for me, my gifts are taking different forms of learning or thought processes and shifting them to make them easily applicable to younger people. So I'm always trying to figure out, okay, how can I use this gift to serve the world? Okay, and then again tomorrow and then the next day, because it's always different. And that's what excites me.
Yes, that's beautiful. Oh my gosh, I don't think I've ever heard somebody talk about those big questions. What do you want to be when you grow up? And what's your passion in that way? I'm gonna actually borrow those and use those with my students, if that's okay. Thank you.
Please.
Our show is called An Unconventional Teacher. What are some things that stands out that makes you an unconventional educator?
Well, one of the main things I would say would be my background. So instead of going to get an education degree, I left university with a communications degree and a chemistry degree. And I decided that I wanted to learn how to be an amazing educator. And I thought, okay, how am I going to do that? Because I know that it's not working in my country. I have to say that I had an amazing experience learning in school. I absolutely love school. I had fantastic teachers. They were always teacher of the year all the time. They were brilliant, but I knew that they weren't happy as well. And I would hear them. I knew they had multiple jobs other than teaching, you know, especially during the holidays. I knew what was happening behind the scenes. And so I thought there has to be a better way. And one of the things that I thought, which was very interesting at that time, was instead of going to medical school, which was my plan then, why not put that same amount of effort, energy, and time into education? If I would put 8+ years into being a doctor, why not do that into being a great teacher?
Oh, why that's not, so great. You know?
And so I thought, okay, I pulled up an infographic and I found the best schools and the happiest and most successful students. And in 2009, President Obama then made a speech about South Korea being the system that America wanted to pattern after. And I thought, well, how do we know? How do we know they're really who we want to pattern after? How do we know, you know? And the media, it became this thing in the media. And I thought,
I remember.
It was this thing. And I thought, well, why not? I'm just going to go there. I'm going to go and see. I'll give it a year, you know? And I'm just going to immerse myself into this system. I'll be a teacher and I'm going to see if this is something that we should actually follow or not. So I did. I went to South Korea and I became a teacher and actually became a quite successful teacher in 1 year. But I noticed things. Yes, they had amazing test scores, but there was also a high suicide rate as well. Mm-hmm. There were things that we did as American educators, the way that we connect and bring a different level of fun and interaction that were quite beneficial there. And it was that experience that taught me, aha, there is something that we all bring in different cultures all around the globe that could be so amazing if we could put them together.
Yes.
I guess I have to go there and find out what they are. And that became my journey to traveling to different spaces.
Beautiful. So going to South Korea, you know, taking Obama's word for it, or trying to figure out what he even meant, right? That South Korea, and I remember that. That was my second year of teaching. And I remember everyone all of a sudden started talking about South Korea and, you know, being the number one kind of system and looking at a lot of like Northern European countries. Mm-hmm. And you said, well, how do we know?
There were definitely gaps in education that I felt that we were leaving behind in our Western approach, especially with how much we expected young people to be able to accomplish.
Right.
And I noticed in South Korea, they had so much higher expectations, whereas in the American system, we thought, oh, but that will ruin their childhood. But children naturally love to learn. So, so it's all about the way that you approach it, you know? And I thought, oh, if we put these two together, that natural excitement and that play with these high expectations as well, you know, because children want to rise to the occasion.
They do.
They're excited. They love obstacles and different things to put together and learn. But oftentimes we don't give them the space and opportunity to do so. So I just realized, and I guess this was my unconventional approach, was instead of going to learn what teaching meant and then taking what teaching meant to the classroom, I decided to go to the classroom first and learn from classrooms what teaching meant, and then take that on myself. So instead of me being the teacher, the kids were the teachers. And I still utilize that method today.
That's fantastic. And if I always say a schoolhouse or a district or you're even thinking about a nationwide education system starts failing as soon as we put our focus on the adults.
Right.
As soon as we put our focus on the adults, we've lost. We end each of our podcasts, Jamia, with a story. And a story where taking risks for you, and we've already heard a lot of risks, right? It was a huge risk to leave the US and go to South Korea. But a story maybe where you were in the classroom or you were working with a school and revamping and kind of rewriting their programs, where you took a big risk and it paid off. Can you give us a story, Jamia?
Absolutely. So my second year as a teacher, I worked in a very strict academy. This was in South Korea. And we had to follow the curriculum exactly to the point where there were cameras that watched us.
Oh,
and
no
so
way.
If your students didn't meet the test scores that they needed to, then parents would come back and replay the tape to make sure that you said what you needed to say at the appropriate times.
Oh my
and
gosh.
So utilizing the method of allowing my students to be my mentors and to teach me, I just saw that they were not happy with this experience. They weren't fed, they seemed bored, which to me is a super red flag. You know, if they're bored, then they aren't engaged. And I really believe that we all learn better through a lens of joy. So I'm always trying to keep that energy and that happiness in the classroom. So I started to design my own books and lessons at home and sneak them into the curriculum. Uh-huh. And what happened was my students' test scores began to outrank, at the time they were five, they outranked all of the kids in the other school. So then the other parents of other five-year-olds in different classes started to complain because they thought that the other teachers weren't doing what they needed to do. And then I found out that one of the teachers who was supposedly teaching the higher level, whatever that means, right, was being fired because my students had tested in at mid-level. And one thing about me is I never want to hear what these initial test ranks are,
right?
Because they don't matter to me. And right. I'm going to give 100% full out the entire time. And so from my lens, my students were always the highest ranking students. You're amazing, you're sure. great, you know? And so I always brought that energy and they rose to the occasion, you know? They yeah. love those expectations. And so when I found out that this other teacher was going to be fired, I had to confess, I am actually not purely teaching the
wow.
curriculum. I started designing my own books. I'm actually teaching them about philosophers in phonics class to inspire them. And so wow. I would give them a name. So I would knight each of my students. So I would say, you know, you're the Socrates of the class because you love to ask why, just like yes. Socrates. Isn't that beautiful? And okay, we're going to get together and we're going to decide who Aristotle is. Okay, and then we're going to knight Aristotle. And so this, of course, also created new vocabulary. They're excited. Yeah. They're, you know, they're communicating even more. And it also built the bond within the classroom. And so long story short, once that happened, this was a very, very expensive private school. Mm-hmm. And those students, their test scores were just out of this world. And so afterwards, I decided that I wanted to teach at a school for children who were in a less affluent place.
Mm-hmm.
And this school, all of the students that age decided to leave and follow me this neighborhood, which is unheard of. I mean, I'm talking, we went to a school where they had private nannies. And I said, I really want to go to a place that isn't affluent, where kids don't have much, so you're not going to have these things. And they sure. said, we've learned the power of a teacher. And we know that it doesn't matter what the curriculum is, what the school is. If we have a teacher who loves our children, that's the best gift that we can give them. And they all left. One of the kids was actually the daughter of the CEO of the school, and she came as well.
And to me,
that has been the most powerful story that I keep within myself about risk and following your intuition and what you know, and letting love lead. Because
yes.
I didn't know what was going to happen, but I just knew I love these kids and I want you to have an amazing experience. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I cannot sit here and see your faces of boredom and know that I've wasted your time. I've wasted moments from your childhood where they could be so joyous. And I believe when we do that, when you just lead with that space of, These are moments of your life. These are yes. moments that we're sharing. Wow. I mean, it's groundbreaking and it doesn't feel like a risk. It feels more like a gift. And it was definitely a gift for me.
Mm. Well, we get to end our podcast and it's really the start of a conversation between myself and you and our listeners and the community that you've created online and just worldly is so lucky to have crossed paths with you. We are so blessed to have you on our show and I've learned so much in these past, I don't know how many minutes, it feels like a lifetime that we've been talking. I am so excited to have you in our corner for an unconventional teacher. And as we grow, we will continue to reach out to you if that's okay for guidance. And I always have my guests share a final word. Is there one last word that you want to leave our listeners before we part ways?
Yes. One final word for teachers is to invest in yourself. I know we spoke about risk, and one of the things that happens when we talk about that is there's negative self-talk within teachers because we often don't feel like we are enough.
Right.
But just know that you are worthy of all of your desires and what you want to be when you grow up and what problem that you want to solve. And when you feel happy and fulfilled, that definitely emanates throughout the spaces and throughout your classroom as well.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for coming on our show. We hope your 2021 goes well. Enjoy your time over in Malaysia and be well. Thank you, Jamia.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of An Unconventional Teacher. We hope you enjoyed listening as much as we enjoyed producing it. This is a project to pay it forward to the teachers and educators out there seeking something different. If you are or have someone in your world that is an unconventional teacher, please send their name to anunconventionalteacher@gmail.com and we can work to get them on this show. Also, please join us on Instagram and Twitter @anunconventionalteacher and be a part of our growing movement to embrace the different. As I tell each and every one of my classes I teach at the end of our time together, vive como si fuera su último día. Live like it were your last day. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time.